Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Two Nordies podcast. We've just recently moved into our new studio down in the marina.
Check it out. Oh, Joe's our first guest. But do you like what we've done with the place?
Unreal, yeah, it looks really well, you know. The signs, the logos, fair play to Cool Grey. They've done a fantastic job on the vinyls and the logos and everybody else who helped out here, really, you know.
Yeah.
But
We're down in the marina.
It's our new home.
Yeah.
And it looks fabulous. And Rome will have plenty of pictures up on Instagram and Facebook or whatever else he does his magic on. But anyway, going back to the seriousness, this week is Health and Safety Week within the construction industry. And yesterday was, which was Tuesday, was Mental Health Day. And myself, James, Joe O'Brien and Conor O'Connell from the CIF Southern area had a chat about mental health, and there was a lot about addiction within the workforce as well, within the construction workforce. But we also thought it was a great idea to have Joe back here again today to have a chat with him, and here he is, Joe O'Brien.
Brilliant, guys. Firstly, thank you so much for inviting me on again this evening to talk about a very, very important topic, mental health and well-being in the construction industry, which has not been addressed, which has been brushed under the carpet for many, many years. And you know, guys, I've been banging on doors for years to get this out there and to get people more aware, especially main contractors, of how important it is to address mental health in the workplace.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Your second appearance.
Thank you.
You're our first guest in our new studio, so we're honoured to have you down. It's a big milestone for us, but it's very timely as well, because it does coincide with the Health and Safety Week within the construction industry. And a part of that is, like, when we think of health and safety, we think of, you know, making sure the scaffolding is okay, making sure you've got your hard hat on, that you're not tripping over wires, that you're picking up your tools, that you're not kicking, that you have your nets under your scaffold. No, practical things that are very important. But just as important is people's mental health and well-being. Because if you have a safety pass and a manual handling, and you're the most careful man on a building site, but you're going home then and you're drinking, you're drowning your sorrows in vodka, or snorting your wages on a Friday night.
Or gambling. Gambling the minute. Like so many men go straight to the bookies when they're paid on a Friday, and they walk out penniless an hour later, and then they go home to a wife to tell her they either lost their wages or the boss never paid them or whatever it may be. And it's behind the counter inside the bookies. And the reason I'm saying this is because I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it a lot of times. But it's, listen, these are areas that aren't spoken about enough, and that's why we've Joe here again today, is to speak about the mental health and how it is within the industry, and well-being, and maybe let's talk about a few areas where it could be improved, and a few ideas where we think it should happen.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Can I ask Guy questions? Because you've got a savage amount of experience in the construction industry. I have very little. I have a bit. I'm not completely ignorant, but I've worked on sites myself. But you've 30, 40 years.
40 years.
And Timmy DeMond's 20, 30. Have you seen the construction industry change, or how has it changed over the time, like the pressures that men face? Has it changed, or has it always been there, do you know?
No, it's changed. An awful lot more pressure, an awful lot of stress that guys are carrying today, because number one, of targets, and we all know that companies need to make money and targets need to be met. But I believe that the companies are going around it the wrong way. Number one, the crack is gone. The crack is gone from the site, you know. And we used to live and thrive on the crack. Everybody had a crack on site, but no, that's after being stemmed. It's like the heart and soul has been dragged out a lot of men on sites today. And I can blatantly see it, to be honest with you, because it's not so long ago since I finished up in the construction. And it's right in my face every single day of the week, you know, affecting guys in a detrimental way. I mean, let's put it this way. Statistically, a quarter of all construction workers have thought of taking their own lives. A quarter.
Every four person, like
that, doesn't bear thinking about, you know.
And I'd say, James, I'd say them figures are probably bigger, you know, because the industry is completely rampant with all forms of addiction, and like we all know what comes with addiction, poor mental health.
Why is it so rampant with mental health and addiction? What is it, the pressures of meeting deadlines and the pressures put on the workers? I know people do long hours, sometimes 6 days of the week, sometimes even longer again. Is that the crux of it? Or
that's the crux of it, yeah, but there's a lot of other factors, underlying factors, and some of those underlying factors are issues outside their workplace, and I think everybody would agree with that. I mean, pre-COVID, everything was going great, and then when COVID kicked in, and you rightly said yesterday, guys, guys that were having a drink maybe on the weekend, we're now having drinks 2 or 3 times a day, a week, sorry. Yeah. And then it would progress to maybe every night of the week. Now, alcohol is very cheap today to buy from the off-license and some of the supermarkets, and it's easily accessible. And, you know, you get into this state that you've put yourself into, and that's one thing that whoever's watching this podcast, you must take full responsibility for your actions and how you're feeling at this moment in your life. And you're the only person that can turn that around. You can get help from everybody under the sun, but if you don't step up to the plate and say, you know something, I see the error of my ways, I take full responsibility and know I'm willing to change in order to change my life, only until then, nothing's going to change. So, like one of my favourite quotes, and you've heard me say this before, and whoever is watching it, I'd like him to repeat it, and that is, if I always do what I've always done, I will always get what I've always gotten. So what does that tell you? It tells you, if you are doing the same thing all the time and you are getting the same results, albeit more than likely negative, then what do you have to do? Change what you're doing, get a routine going, be proactive in your mental health, and start to train your mental health on a daily basis, and start that from the first time you open your eyes in the morning by getting a proper and serious routine going and stick with it.
Isn't there a little bit of responsibility there, so to the organisations within the construction industry, not just here, in England and everywhere else, for them to educate the workforce a little bit first around addiction and mental health problems and well-being? Isn't it like a lot of guys in the construction industry may have no education, a lot of them mightn't even be able to read, you know, and it's not going to be very easy for these guys to get educated around feelings and emotions and thoughts and how everything works together. But why not educate the workforce and tell them, show them how to look out for problems and how to help them and to recover from all forms of addiction, mental health and well-being problems, you know. There needs to be something in place. And we spoke about it yesterday, about maybe a safe pass, right, where there's a mental health education integrated back into that safe pass. It's all about health and safety, right? How many people die in the Irish building sites a year? 4, 5, right? The numbers have cut dramatically since they introduced that. If you look at how many guys take their own life within the construction industry on a yearly basis. That is, like, the numbers in this country aren't adequate, because we have no research on it. We spoke about that yesterday.
The statistics aren't there, and this is why I had to bring that up yesterday, that two construction workers a day take their own lives in the UK. Two a day. Mm. That is affecting two families for the rest of their lives. 454 construction workers take their life a year in the UK. Mm. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking that one dead is enough, but 454 plus. I know we're going into the winter nights. Mm. And we all know what happens when those dark nights close in on us.
Yeah.
We think things are bad, no way until the winter comes in. I mean, the construction worker, nobody looks at the construction with empathy or compassion. There's very few people that do. But the amount of years I had to get up out of bed at 5:30, 5:00, 6:00 in the morning to go onto a wet building site, you know, mm-hmm. plastering gable ends and stuff in the rain, piddling down on top of me and my other workmates and stuff, and just getting through it, you know. And it's the same with all the masons and the chippies out there and everybody else that's working on the outside in construction today. They have all that to face in the coming months, you know. But nobody thinks about that.
Yeah. But the thing about that too is we're looked upon within society as well as the masculine workforce, the really tough men, like the construction yeah. industry is made of really, really strong men. No, they may be physically strong, but a lot of men in the construction industry are mentally like they're barely coping, and and what keeps them from coping on a daily basis is the thought of maybe going into the pub for a few pints at the end of the day
yeah.
until the following morning where they have to do it all again. There's so many men just like that. Mm. They finish at 5:00, their routine is straight to the pub until 10:00, get their food on the way home, right, into bed, get up the next morning, that's it. Come Saturday and Sunday, they're in the pub. They're either drinking or using in the pub and gambling in the bookies. Mm. The reason I'm saying this is because that was my life. Mm. That's the life I lived as well.
And you know a lot of people still in it.
Still, you know, it's just a thing. It's just a thing that happens within the workforce.
And do you think that there's more people in the construction workforce like that than in relation to other workforces? Like,
you know, James?
It's right across the board. I even got a text earlier on today from a chap in the haulage business.
Yeah.
He said that yours is the same in the haulage business. So I texted him back. He said something that needs to be addressed in the future, you know.
I wonder, is it the tough working conditions?
It's that as well. It's lack of respect in a lot of ways as well, you know. We can talk about the bullying as well that goes on in sites later on, for that matter, you know.
But what you just said there, it's an industry where you don't really need to use your brain too much. There's not that much technology for construction workers, right?
Like, you do need to use your brain.
You do, but not. It's not a practical industry, okay? It's very practical.
Path of the brain.
And it's a way of learning, right? We learn in that industry through repetition physically, okay? By looking at something practically and just knowing it off by heart, right? If a lot of construction workers, if you brought them into a computer room, a lot of them wouldn't be able to sit there and go on a computer for, you know.
Yeah.
That's why we like to be kept going. We like to be working. Mm. We like to be up and down scaffolds. We like to be, like in my case, I like to be up on the roof, making a roof, or inside putting in a kitchen, or fixing the stairs, or whatever it may be, because it keeps my mind busy. Mm. And that's where it comes in for a lot of the guys as well in the industry. And it goes back to what we were speaking about COVID there earlier on. About when COVID came in and the whole country went into lockdown, and there was over 200,000 construction workers were sent home from work one day, and their routine was completely taken from James. A lot of them men need to be kept going, right? And the pubs were closed also, so they were at home with their thoughts, you know, bored. What do they do, Jor?
Turn to substance, you know. It's a sense of relief. Mm. It's to stem the pain from not having that routine. And you spoke about that a while ago, about how you can get into a routine. A routine starts off and then it becomes habitual.
Mm.
And then it's very difficult to break out of that habit. But the only way to move forward in life is to break yourself back out of that habit. And that comes down to training of mental strength again. And the mental strength, for me personally, going back, you're not aware of this, lads, but I wanted to take my own life going back a few years ago, and I suffered my own mental health and well-being. And I talk about this when I give talks to companies, but I'd been brought to a point in my life where I just had enough. Like,
what age were you, Joe?
It's going back when the downturn, 2013.
Go away.
Yeah, yeah. It was horrendous for me personally, you know. There was no work there.
Financial stress.
Financial, yeah. Daughter going to college, paying the mortgage. Everything got on top of me, but like any other man, I didn't open my mouth. You know, I kept my mouth closed because I was afraid in case I'd be frowned upon. And this is where the stigma comes in, why guys don't speak to that. Yeah. I'd encourage anybody out there that's going through a tough time to speak. I didn't speak about it. I don't know where I got the strength from, but that strength catapulted me to where I am today. What I do as a speaker, as an energy therapist, helping me. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for the time that I did go through back then, because it's made me who I am. And the first thing I'll say when I give a talk to somebody, I'll write on a board, remember these two words, because I'm going to bring it up at the end. Mental strength. It's everything.
We were down in Pafalvi's a few weeks ago, you know, the mountaineer, world famous. He was in the construction industry for years.
That's right, yeah.
He employed a lot of people from the north side and that. And in the 1980s with the recession, he was telling us that he lost everything and he couldn't pay the boys his wages and the shame of it. And he was driving himself into the river and something just stopped him before the river. He didn't tell nobody, you know, because like people in men in construction industry, men in general, but I think men, there's a lot of it is around honour, you know, hard days work, good days pay, and honest days pay and all this, and you want to honour that, do you know what I mean? And when a contractor or employer can't honour that, and you know they're after giving their fucking, their hard graft in and you can't pay them, I can imagine it gets on top, do you know what I mean? It's like, how do I turn up and tell them I don't have the money? And but anyway, he was able to turn it around himself. And he got his mental health and peace of mind back as well. But I can see, like, there's also, like, there's the financial stress, but there's also, like what Timmy said a while ago, if your construction work can be hard and all your energy goes into it, right, what keeps you busy, keeps you fit and healthy and gives you purpose up early, home in the evening, blah, 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 you take that away, what are you left with? Who am I? What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And people get very heavily invested in their trade, do you know? And if the trade is gone, what am I going to do? Go back? Like, am I going to go back and do a degree? Like, I can't, do you know? It's not that they can't do it, but they feel like they can't do it.
Yeah. And that energy that they use in the physical actions within the industry turns into energy in the mind, where they use all the energy for thought, and a lot of the times it could be negative thought or critical thought about themselves, and that's what happens. And then when people feel bad about themselves, they're going to look for an outside, something outside,
again,
a drug, an alcohol, just to take them away from that place of being. And that's what happens.
That's what happens. And Tim is right in what he's saying. Like, but everything starts in a state of consciousness, and we create our own reality by the thoughts that we think. So the self-affirmation about oneself is of paramount importance, because it does lower your energy levels dramatically, and it does lower what's called your vibration. So if you're constantly being negative within your self-dialogue, and it's repetitive on a daily basis, that the fact that I'm not good enough, I'll never amass to anything, thoughts like that, then you're going to put yourself into such a negative, detrimental state of mind that it's going to be extremely difficult to pull yourself back out of it. So one of the first things I would say to a client of mine, or if I was giving a talk to somebody, is be very, very careful how you speak about yourself, because everything that follows I am, the two most important words in the English dictionary, everything that follows I am, you become. So be very careful what follows I am is positive. If you feel yourself that you're delving into the negativity of saying something, for instance, which is paramount, everybody that comes to see me is, I'm not good enough. If you feel that you're thinking and you're affirming that to yourself, as soon as you feel that, pull right back and say, hang on a second, I am good enough. Now, you mightn't believe it at the start, but over a period of time, when you keep pulling yourself back and say, I actually am good enough. So the more that you tell yourself and the more that you believe and you perceive yourself to be, the more you become it. And that changes your attitude. And when you change your attitude, then you get into a better frame of mind. You can create a better routine and you can pre-pave the day then in a better positive way. Every single day of your life, this is where the mental strength comes in. And everybody needs to work on their mental strength. and don't be expecting it to happen for them. You need to put the hard work in.
Mm.
Look at the two of you guys. Look what you've done. It's a testament, you know. Mm. It's an absolute testament. Anybody can do it if you're strong enough to put the work in.
Yeah, do you know who's a great role model as well for that type of attitude? Tyson Fury.
Mm.
Did you watch Tyson Fury a few weeks ago? Annihilate.
Yeah.
For the third time in a row, really. Like,
mm.
But where he's come from, and he says it like what you said there. He says, I'm nothing special. I'm just like everybody else. But I go training every day, and I turn up for life, and I do my whatever he does. And he can achieve big things.
Great attitude. He's an incredible person.
Unreal, isn't it?
Incredible person.
And he's just like, he's a traveller man. He's from Irish family. Mm-hmm. He's been in addiction, mental health, overweight, lost 10 stone, got himself into recovery, doing his therapy, back to the gym.
Mm.
And he just believed that I am the best in the world and I can do this.
Yeah.
We don't all have to be heavyweight champion of the world, no. But you can conquer your own things. Like Pat, for 5 years to us, he says, you've conquered your Everest, or the studio now is your goal, do you know what I mean? This is bringing it up another notch, like, and what's the next one now, do you know?
It's brilliant.
Yeah, and like, everybody has their own things that they can strive for, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every goal, right, that you face and you overcome through fear and change will bring you on to the next level of stuff, next level of change, because every previous step that you've met, goal, aim, whatever it may be, has gotten you ready, right, emotionally and mentally for the next area.
Mm.
And I'm a firm believer that you're given what you need at that moment. And the minute you start fighting it, you're losing the battle. You know, surrender straight into it, accept it for what it is, 100%. If you're powerless over it, and just go with it.
Like the strength of EPR.
100%. I accept where I am, I accept how I'm feeling, I accept what's going on in my mind and in my body, and I offer no more resistance. Mm. Great words, Tim. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Accept the things I cannot
accept
change.
It. Just accept, and what I would say to anybody watching or listening to the podcast that may be going through a tough time, embrace it, feel it, and just release and let it go.
What would you say to somebody that looks at accepting negative circumstances as being passive or defeatist in attitude?
No, that's showing your true strength. Your perfection is in your imperfection. Your values in your quality. Whatever you're feeling, just express it, no matter what, and your inner strength will come to the forefront, and that will show you exactly who you are, the true essence of who you are as a human being, because we all go through something in our lives of negativity. Everybody does. But those are just experiences. I've had a couple of guys come to me. I've had a guy come to me several months ago, a young apprentice, and it was a breakup in a relationship, and he said, "Jerry, I want to take my own life, you know?" So I said, let's call him John, right? Not his real name. So I said, "Look, John," I said, "I understand." I said, "But look, we got to feel through this now." Worked through it, right? Bang, bang, bang. And I said, "Look, John," I said, "if everybody goes through a negative experience in their lives over whatever reason it may be, and they want to take their own lives, and they do take their own lives," I said, "there'll be nobody left on the planet." I said, "because everybody goes through something at some time in their lives, and this will allow us to grow from these negative experiences that will create so much positivity in us." And then you say, "what am I meant to learn from this experience?" So what he's learned from that experience, and he left and he contacted me again a while after that, and he goes, "Jerry, you won't believe what's after happening. I moved on just like you said I'd be able to move on. I've met the most wonderful person," he said, "and I'm just absolutely besotted, and so is she with me. So I'm looking back at the relationship that I had," he said, "and you're right, it wasn't meant for me." You know, just accept what is and let go.
Yeah, that's a very true saying, really, going back to what you were saying about relationships and stuff like that. I've came across a number of people in recent years that have gone through relationship breakups, and I've always tried to come to them in a subtle way and just tell them, whatever pain you're feeling, no, just listen, just go with it and try to feel it, because I guarantee it, it's in 12 months, in 6 months, or in 2 years down the line, we'll have this conversation again and you'll say, "that was the best thing that ever happened to me." That was the app. But at the time, we don't feel like that, because we feel we're after being, especially if it's a male, our ego can be dented if a female leaves us. We feel like we're not adequate, or we're not good enough, or, or we're not macho enough, or man enough, or whatever. It's a big thing for a man.
We're fragile creatures, like.
We are. Yeah. And you know what? This is my belief, that the female will always be stronger than any male. Right? And women are emotionally stronger than men. You know, and I was listening to something recently there. I think it was Eckhart Tolle was saying something about men and the belief that God is a man, you know, with a beard and long hair.
I know.
And he said, forget about all that. He said, God is none of them. God is not even a fucking vision, something that you can see, tangible, you know. It's just the concept of God is just... It's your belief through your culture, but the real God is just within every one of us, and we all get a chance to kind of see it.
Gillian is over there, sitting behind us on the couch in
she's
the green
laughing.
Backstage, she's, if we can call it backstage or the green room, but she's reading a book at the moment called Invisible Women, and it's about how women have been moved out of history, really. But it's kind of like what you're talking about. Who says God is a big white man with a big long grey beard, because the strong and the winners create history, and men are physically stronger than women, so we can make them subordinate to us, but that doesn't mean that they are. They're probably, like what you're saying, they probably are way more powerful.
Look at it like this, James. Look at it. Why are women the ones that bear kids and bring kids up? Because they have to pay more patience than men. Because I know I wouldn't last 2 days being at home anyhow, raising a load of kids.
But you know, if you're looking even back through history, and this was on the documentary we seen the other day.
And I'm not trying to be fucking feminist now.
But if you're looking at back through history, do you know, the hunter-gatherers everything is kind of named after men. This is what the men was doing at the time, so this is what that period of history is. Do you know what I mean? Where was the women? What was the women doing? Raising kids, mating kids, looking after the village. They were doing all the hard work. The men was fighting fucking wars and tearing lumps out of each other. But the women was the ones that was actually keeping the show on the road. But we'll look back and we'll celebrate, you know, Trojans and Spartans and all these things. But what about the women? But they're not written into history.
The women behind all these big heroes, the ones who are the real heroes.
I was going to say there, no, your place, Gillian, but it was probably inappropriate.
RL, it's Gillian.
She wasn't invisible then.
RL's being the one to pick them up every time they fall down. That was my case.
That you brought up the topic about women there, not to take from, and with due respect to women that work in the construction industry. There is a large percentage of women that do work in the percentage in the construction industry. And all the effects that we're speaking about that affect the male populace will affect certain amounts of the females that work in construction. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that they're out in the lash and rain laying blocks and stuff. And if they are, fair play to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Or if they're players or whatever. But there is an aspect that some of the aspects that we have spoken about will affect some of the ladies in the construction industry
I had a family member that was a female apprentice electrician.
Brilliant.
And she went to Dublin on her block release. To one of the colleges, I think, up there, but she was house sharing with a few other apprentice electricians. There was savage bullying went on, and they locked her into the hot press, and you know, just. But you touched on bullying there earlier on.
Yeah.
Is it rife?
Yeah. Rife, from apprentices right up to mature men.
Go out there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and on saying that now, one thing's coming to mind. I gave a talk 2 years ago in a major pharma company, and the guy approached me after the talk, and everybody was gone out of the room, and I could see he was after it. His eyes were welling up with tears, and he just said, you saved my life this morning, John. It's not about me now, lads. I'm just telling you a story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, sorry, buddy. He says, you won't believe, he said, what I've been going through. And I said, come over here. Listen. And he started crying. So I put my arms around him. I gave him a hug. I didn't know who the man was. But that's what showing compassion for another human being is.
Mm.
You either have it or you don't. I felt for that man, you know.
Mm.
I gave him a hug and I got emotional myself with him. I said, come on over here and sit down. I asked him his name and he told me, I said, you know, what's going on? He said, I was actually going to take my own life this morning, Joe. He said, I shouldn't be here. He said, I got disturbed at 6:30 this morning when I was just about to do it. And I was like, okay. He said, I shouldn't be here. And I came in to work. And as I walked in, I put on that mask that every fella puts on.
Yeah.
That false sense of self that you're supposed to express that manly image again. I was dying inside. He said, I put on the mask when I came in. And one of my work colleagues, I met him and he goes, there's a guy in there giving a talk on mental health and stuff. And he says, you know what I said to him, Joe? Load of bull. They're all the same, he said. This is the way he spoke to me, right?
Mm.
But he said, when you started speaking, he said, I felt something lift off me. And he said, I really connected with what you were speaking about, you know. And after you were finished speaking, he said, everything changed, he said. And I said, do you mind me asking? I said, what's brought you to this point? I said, and I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 54 years of age. No, this guy had a senior position.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you mightn't believe it when I tell you. I said, try me. He said, I'm being bullied. I said, you're being bullied? He says, yeah, I'm being bullied. For the last 6 weeks, he said, and my head has been in absolute turmoil. And then coming into work every day, he said, I'm in bits and I'm having to deal with this. And he said, that's when it came to a head this morning, where I'd had enough, he said.
Aaron, and he said, sorry, Joe, go on.
And he said, I heard you this morning then. And he said, everything's after changing.
Mm.
And I said, look, I said, can you come and see me this evening? He said, no, Joe, I'm actually okay, he said.
Mm.
I'm actually going out to phone my wife now, is what I'm doing, he said.
Mm.
So I said, anyway, I got to see him the following night. He came to see me privately, you know.
Yeah.
And everything changed.
Sad, though, the man, that hour of his life, don't been bullied to the point where he actually wants out.
Everything changed. He handed in his resignation 2 weeks later.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now in contact with him. He's way better. Oh, my God, he's in a different planet.
Yeah.
We've become really good friends, you know. He's actually getting me in to give a talk. The company that he's in.
Well, if he's listening, I wish him well.
But listen, there's another very important point to make about what you're speaking about there, about that bullying. Like, isn't there a form of company bullying as well, where companies actually use the actual term managing them out as well?
Yeah.
Is that not a form of bullying? Like,
will you explain that to me?
Managing them out is what companies do when they look at a thorn within a company, somebody that's maybe outspoken or something like that.
Mm.
And what they do is they make their life hell, basically.
So that's your leave.
Cull them, basically.
Yeah. So there's no easy way of talking about it. If you're not working for the new management within the company and you may be entitled to a redundancy or whatever, I don't know how it works, but they will manage you.
That's totally bullying. It's a very subtle, down, James, subtle and nasty version of it.
And it does happen, James. It's actually
bigger than you think.
Yeah.
It's like we could all speak about the individual bullying, but
the obvious bit.
It's actually starts at the top down.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be.
But should any organisation, any workforce, is a reflection of the management as well? Like,
it is, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It is. And I've come across bullying. You've probably come across it, but I'll always step in and I'd make no bones about it.
If I was a black belt, I'd step in too, Joe.
Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
I know, I'm
it's not about violence or aggression. It's about standing up for somebody and having somebody's back. And I've seen it.
And I think watching somebody being bullied is it's not nice. Like, nobody likes it.
I've seen it with foremen that were just, we'd say, normal guys on the site, and then they got the white hat, and then the stripe went on the shoulder.
Power.
And then what happens is the ego takes over.
Mm.
And I'm not speaking on behalf of everybody, but in a lot of cases that they get lost in their own self-importance. I know that they have their little stripe on their right shoulder and their white hat, that they believe and they think that they have the right to speak down to people of any age group for that matter. But I've come across where I was present when I saw two apprentices being severely bullied by two foremen.
Go away with that.
And I stepped in. I said, don't talk to them lads like that, I said. I said, I'm not listening to you speak to these kids like this. I said, they're 18 years of age, the young apprentices. I said, I wouldn't like it. I said, if my son came home and told me that she spoke to me like that, I said, you're talking down to them like they're bits of dirt.
Yeah.
I said, treat them with respect. They're young guys that are learning their apprenticeship. Treat them with respect. I said, you know. I was called up to the office after that. What's going on inside you? I told him. And I said, you're bullying me. No, I said. I said, you're taking the back of the foreman and you don't even know what happened inside. I said, but I said, I'm not having it. And I said, I'll go further about this. I'll go further about it. I'll go right to the top if I have to.
Fair
and if
it means no,
I think you do the same, lads. You but can't think, stand by and see it happening.
An apprentice, they're very vulnerable. They're very vulnerable because they're new and they're very raw and, you know, ignorant or naive to the dynamics on the building side and the profession and all that. So they're relying on older lads, more experienced lads, to tell them what to do. So we've all seen the videos and stories of apprentices being taken the piss out of them. Sometimes that's funny, sometimes it's not. But if you're the apprentice and caught up in that, you can see how that could go a step too far. Or you could see how, like you say, fuck that, I don't feel like being the brunt of the joke now again today. And your fellas start dropping off, do you know what I mean?
But I'd say a few fellas have got a few shocks as well from apprentices lashing back. Thinking that certain young fellas are... What's the right word? Shitty asses, if that's the right word to say.
That's fine,
next
but
all
you,
of a
you
sudden,
get the point across in a respectful way. That's the point I'm getting to.
But then all of a sudden, the apprentice turns around and gives one of them a smack. I've seen shit happen on site, and it would blow your mind, And it doesn't matter what age people have to be. They can be any age. Like you have an industry where men are very, very strong, physically. And there's a lot of strong egos from the top down to the bottom, you know, and if fellas are wronged in any way they feel intimidated, you know, both physically or vocally or whatever it may be, they will lash back, it's usually by force. It's not like these other industries where you have people will go in and...
Go to HR and manager.
In a building site, if you go into HR and manager, you'll get a bad name on the site for being fucking informant or whatever, and you'll get... what we're saying is you just have to be careful.
It is a bit more contained today than what it used to be.
Yes.
Than what it used to be. All my years in construction, I saw a lot of things happen on sites with fisticuffs and stuff, you know what
so
I mean?
So, a dispute would generally end in a straightener?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that on a lot of occasions, you know?
Mm.
But the one thing I would say about the construction industry is there's fantastic camaraderie.
Yeah, let's get to the positives of it.
You know,
it's
lunchtime, 10 o'clock.
And even all the different nationalities that have come into the construction industry today, for the most part, they're great lads, you know. And that we would have all, and still do, get on well with one another, you know.
Mm.
And it's great, again, us as Irish people to embrace different nationalities and cultures as well and welcome them into the construction industry. Because there's a lot of talented guys out there that have come in from different countries as well, to be fair to them.
A lot of Polish,
a lot of Lithuanian.
Latvia.
Portuguese, Brazilians. Romanians.
Yeah.
There's been a pile of Romanian men come into the workforce. And
they've integrated well.
Yeah, and they're good. I've seen it. And when people talk about Romanians, there's a stigma around Romanian people as well. We won't get into that here, but there is... But it's not like that.
Actually, it'd be great to get somebody, a Roma person on the podcast, if anybody knows anybody that's from the Roma community.
Brilliant.
But, you know what the good thing about the construction industry is? If you're willing and able to do the job, doesn't matter. I don't care if you have a load of convictions. Yeah. I don't know, the higher up you go, that becomes a problem. But in general, if you want to come and work with me, I don't care what you've done in the past. Are you willing to do the job? Are you going to work hard? Are you reliable? Come on, I don't care about anything else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great, if I'm working with people in addiction and stuff, and people that's coming from prison and they're trying to change their lives around, the construction industry is the one industry where the door will be open for them,
And rightly so.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs a second chance in life.
Yeah.
And everybody needs a lift up in life, you know? But we're there for one another. We're all connected energetically wise, you know? And we should all be helping one another out. And... The one thing I'd always kind of talk about is just try and be kind to one another. No matter where you are, no matter
have
what
have a philosophy
you're in.
Of be sound.
Be
if
sound.
You're being sound by and life is much easier, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah.
You know, but within the industry too, the construction industry is it's just one of those industries, if you're either one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a very aggressive injury, but most of the time, like, there's a great crack, James.
Mm.
You know, the 10 o'clock lunch, the 1 o'clock lunch, the crack in between, the boys talking about the weekend, who done what happened there.
Yeah.
Like, that's the camaraderie.
That's when you might get your crack in. You know, like I was saying at the start, the crack has gone out of the jobs for no reason, you know.
Fellas know for their 10 o'clock are on their phone. And they stand there for.
I took a photograph of one of the jobs I was on, and I took a photograph of the guys. I didn't put it up anywhere or whatever.
Mm.
Every single one was on their phone. Mm. There was no interaction.
That's sad. That is sad.
Mm. That is sad, you know.
It is sad because, fuck it, 10 years ago, I remember being on sites like, and we used to
sit sitting around slagging, like,
having a bit of crack, like.
Mm.
No, the seriousness was still there, like, after, come on, no, boys, pick up your socks, like, half 10, whatever. But
yeah.
There was a bit of a buzz around it, you know.
I remember when I was a young apprentice painter, the fella I used to work for, he was murder for the hash, like, he was small cash, it wasn't bothering him in the slightest. Now, you know, some people, they can get up in the morning and have a cup of tea and smoke a joint and go about their business. Well, I wasn't one of them.
Mm.
So we'd be on the way to work and he gave me the joint and I couldn't work. Come 9, 10 o'clock, I'm sitting on a fucking bucket of Brilliant Minds with me fucking head and me fucking breakfast straw, you know what I mean? I'd be cabbing.
Yeah.
And like, it's not working out to you. Like, no wonder it's not.
Like, the breakfast roll is the biggest thing for the 10 o'clock lunch, the breakfast roll. And then you have the hot chicken roll for the 1 o'clock lunch and the bottle of milk. It's
another time,
you know, then. The diet is great.
Yeah, I know.
Fellas mightn't even be hungry, but they believe they still have to eat the breakfast roll. I think people
are a little bit more conscious these days with the breakfast roll. But another story I had from my limited time in the construction industry. I was in the throes of addiction now this time. So, in the boom times, 2004 to 2008, 2004 to 2006, I'd say. 2007 even, I could get fired from a job on a Monday and walk into a new job on a Tuesday, you know, €100 a day, cash in hand, top of the dole. That's you hurry on, but I'd be great worker for 28 days and then I get my monthly script and then that'd be it, and I could never keep a job for longer than a month. But I got one job there, no, Brian and Mickey, the two painters.
Before you go any further, now you're probably going to need a letter off the dole next week.
Or Rowan will cut that out. But this is all for entertainment purposes. We're creators here.
Yeah.
But I was working with Brian and Mickey. The two boys are paint contractors from Knocknaheeny and Holly Hill. They gave me a job, for the goodness of their hearts. I lovely, aren't you? Working first day in the job, I put diesel into Mickey's van. Petrol into Mickey's diesel van. Not a good start, is it?
He killed
the boys then, because I was new. But I used to be stoned out of my head in the mornings, you know.
Yeah.
Another day then, I was after getting me script the night before, so I woke up the next morning, we were still out of it from the tablets, you know, full of D10s now in Rohypnol. The boys used to, anyway, had a smoke of a joint, so everything kicked back in.
Oh, God.
So I fell asleep in the side, I went into his van, fell asleep in the van, and Mickey comes over. He taps on the window and he said, we call it a day, boy. I said, all right, boy, no bother. Yeah. And that was the end of that.
I heard that story.
So Mickey now would probably tell it a lot funnier because he's a gas man.
He's a storyteller. Like,
I went through so many painters, I fucking stoned out of my head in sight. Eventually I just kind of gave up on it.
Yeah.
But some cracked up.
Worked out for the better in the end,
great
didn't
story.
It?
I worked out for the better, but I liked painting because, I don't know, but there's something very mindful about painting.
Very therapeutic.
You walk into a blank canvas, a blank room, and you leave it a couple of hours later and the thing looks great.
Mm.
And you're after passing hours and all you're thinking about is painting.
Yeah.
And even today, I don't mind painting. I do some foxes every now and then. And
good.
Painting is a grand old spot.
I'll tell you one quick job. One about painting there, and we go back into. We've stipple ceilings at home.
Right? They're a nightmare, aren't they?
But I didn't realise that when you paint a stipple ceiling, you paint it. I thought I was painting it, and there were still black marks on it. They were the shadows from the stipple that were coming down. I didn't know that. I must have painted the one ceiling, I'd say, at least 7 times. Like, and I just got the fucking roll, and I said, fuck this. I said, what the fuck is wrong with this? I was in the height of addiction now at the same time. And I just threw the brush on the floor at the roller, and I fucked off, and I got someone else in to paint it. Talking to Brian then, I said, what the fuck is this story with the ceilings? Why don't the stipple ceilings become white paint? Why using white paint? He says to me, there's a shadow on stipple. Do you know, you can't see it. It's just shattering stuff. I said, what the fuck? I said, they painted a thing about seven fucking
They were like stalactites or stalagmites.
It's dying out, isn't it? Yeah. The stipple.
And I was getting dizzy.
I was doing that many years ago. I actually stippled a woman's entire house, walls and ceilings.
Oh, yeah,
she thought it was the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
But in 1981, everybody was mad for it.
Gillian's mum's gaff up in Churchfield there, not the outside of the house. And you're the one gaff, not the old Churchfield gaffs. The outside of the house is really badly stippled. It's a fucking nightmare to paint, right?
Yeah,
paint it, eats the paint.
There's about 30 layers of paint in my wall.
It's very porous.
30 easily. And we've distippled then in the inside of the house.
Top of that clay. Not good.
And we just, I tell you what, no, it was coming towards the end of me doing up the gaff at the state time. And I said, fuck that, no, we're going to hear that stipple.
Well, look, lads, we digress. We'll come back.
Yeah.
How are you, John?
I'm in great form and I'm even in better form now. Bringing up this topic again this evening, lads, because you know it's very close to my heart. And and Tim's, to be fair, because it needs to be put out there. Yeah. There's nobody talking about it. I've been banging on doors for years.
Yeah.
It was great to have Connor on board with us yesterday. It was absolutely brilliant. What we didn't touch upon, or we could have touched upon, maybe should have touched upon, but we can know, is about bringing speakers into sites. And maybe they can implement that in their costing before they put their prices into these companies, that they're going to get guys in to talk about mental health. Because we spoke about this, when they say Mental Health Week and Mental Health Day, that is only 1 hour of one entire year.
I know.
That you're going to speak about mental health. But let's say there's 500 employees in a company, there's only going to be a percentage of those gets to hear somebody speak about very, very important topics. But not just that about tools that they can bring home, that they can work on themselves. And that's why I teach modern stress management, where I can show people techniques to work on themselves, which is hugely beneficial, and talking about the coaching and coaching people to implement different strategies in their daily routine to enhance their betterment, to be more positive within themselves, because everybody's going to get up again. They're going to keep doing the same thing that they're always doing, like we spoke about a while ago, and you're not going to get any positive results out of it. This is where the real mental strength comes in, that you have to really captivate.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, if you're developing one Albert Quay or the Dean or somewhere on the Docklands or a fucking apartment block on the Western Road, how much does it cost between salaries for all the construction workers, the materials, everything, millions upon millions? How much would it cost you to bring a speaker in? Fuck all.
Nothing.
In relation to the millions and millions. A couple of hundred euros, maybe a grand for an hour or two,
But you could bring that speaker in at the beginning and record it, James. You know, at the beginning of the site works, and record it, and then when the next new trades come in, you could use it as part of the induction as well.
You could. Did you know that 30% of people that are out of work today is as a result of stress, depression, and anxiety? 30%. Not just in construction.
Would
that be higher than the physical side? Sorry, James.
Right, fine.
Would that be higher than the physical size?
Oh, yeah, side, hugely. That's huge. Way above it.
Is stress, depression, and anxiety? Is anxiety and depression stress always linked? Like, is stress the cause of anxiety?
Creates depression. You start off with anxiety first, then the depression kicks in. You know? And of course, that can stem from anything. But again, I believe that we're as a result of our past experiences, and it's the hurt and the trauma and the breakup in relationships and the financial issues and the substance abuse and things that have been done in the past mold us into who we are at that particular moment in our lives. And if you're not mentally strong, again, this way, I can't stop harping on about it. If you're not mentally strong, then you're going to create anxiety yourself, and you're going to create depression yourself, and you're going to dig a hole for yourself if you don't start to work on yourself, because you must, again, take full responsibility for everything that's going on in your life and how you're feeling.
Yeah, because where will you be with a victim mentality?
Nowhere.
Pointing the finger, but still in the depths of it. When you take, there's something very empowering about what you're saying. Like, it's like, if I take responsibility, I know bad things have happened to me, and I was hard done by, but pointing the finger and the blame at everybody else, where's it getting me? But if I can take responsibility for my part in it, it's empowering, because then you've control to get out of it And I always say, like, when I was in addiction, I was blaming my mum, my dad, and the guards, courts, everybody. Where was it getting me? In the throes of it. But when you stop pointing the finger and you take responsibility, then you start to pull yourself out of it.
But you know, even what we're speaking about there, about people taking responsibility, a lot of people wouldn't know the philosophy of all those areas. They wouldn't know how, by taking responsibility of their own actions and things like that, that's a part of growth. Mm. You know, a lot of people aren't educated to that level.
Tim.
So, like, what we're trying to do here, the three of us, and what we're talking about is how you could maybe educate people around all that and bring them into sights.
Yeah, but I think for people watching and listening, taking responsibility, what I mean by that is, like, if you're unhappy with your life, stop complaining about it and stop saying, like, oh, my boss is a mug, or my husband is annoying me, or I hate my mom, my dad, and fucking do something, pick up the phone and action something, and you get momentum, and then you'll have change.
But a lot of people then too don't know, like, by, as George said earlier on, by always complaining and saying the poor me and feeling sorry for yourself, you're actually creating your own reality.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
you're creating it all yourself.
You know, what follows the I am?
People don't know about these things. People don't know that they're actually creating their own reality in the present moment by fucking visualising a future that's completely shit, where they're always the bad, the person that's been done by, you know, by someone else, or, and then the poor me's and all this shit. Like, you're creating the reality of what you're explaining or what you're saying.
As we said, you're spot on, Tim. As we said in the last podcast, if you don't heal the pain from the past, you will bleed all over your future.
Mm.
The past is in the past. It doesn't exist anymore. Maybe at an energetic level and at an emotional level, because this is where all the trauma is today, that we carry the trauma from the past through energy connections and from the emotional content that we have. So our thoughts create our feelings create our emotions, and our emotions create our vibrational frequency. So what you're vibrating at any particular time indicates your innermost feelings. So if I was to say to you, James, how are you feeling? How are you feeling now?
I'm actually feeling very good.
Feeling good, right. So if I ask you another day, sure, I'm actually feeling down and not too good, then your vibration is low. So your vibration is an indicator of your feelings. Your feelings are the guideposts to your understanding. Know and accept them. If you're not feeling right, well, then you need to do something about it. Otherwise, you're going to go into the doldrums of despair. And how do you pull that? How do you pull yourself out of it? By being proactive and saying, you know what? I'm going to dust myself down and I'm going to start doing something right now for myself. Because nobody else can do it for me but me. Get up off your backside and start doing it.
100%, and I agree with Jor 100%, right? But there's also another thing what Jor was saying there is, when you do feel like that, you know, and you are down, instead of questioning it and trying to figure out in your own mind what it is, you know, just try to surrender into it and accept it and say, right, I'm feeling like that, and there's growth in that. There's growth in surrendering into the way you're feeling and acceptance. Massive growth. And when that happens, then when you accept whatever way you're feeling at that moment, James, right, George, you know, it stops.
It's a serene feeling.
It's energy. George always speaks about the emotional side, the energy side of whatever it is. That energy is based on an experience from the past that you probably don't even know what it could have happened when you were 2 or 3. It might have been fear or shame or guilt. Right, and that's coming up now in the present moment, but you haven't got the memory of that happening. But if you surrender into it and feel it, and feel that energy, no matter how bad it feels or no matter what's going up here, you're going to grow, you're going to heal yourself. And the next time that thought that comes up that brings on that energy, as George said, right, the strength of that emotion won't have the same strength it did last week.
And
the week before.
Do you know, for people that's watching and listening, have you any books or videos or YouTube videos or anything like that you could suggest for people to read or watch or listen to that they could find as self-help? What has helped you?
I said it on the last video, The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale. The Secret book was a great book to start off for anybody that's not very familiar with what we're speaking about.
Yeah.
It will really give them a good insight into how our minds work, basically. But it's very, very simplified, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. Mm.
Good introduction.
Endorse that all day long, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. I really would, but there's some incredible stuff on YouTube. Eckhart Tolle, for instance. Mm. There's so many positive videos out there, so there's no excuses for anybody to work on their mental strength today. Look, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because if you've got the same routine all the time, yes, it will be difficult. But look, how many years are you going to be on this planet for?
Mm.
You know, what's your purpose in life? What's your introduction to humanity? What are you going to give back? It's not all about take. You know, start learning, start being proactive again, start teaching yourself. And always remember, if you feel yourself complain, you know, how would I put it? I'm at the losing my trail of thought. If you feel that you're wasting your breath complaining about life at times, always remember, somebody out there is taking their last.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. We've a lot of good quotes, Joe. We'll have to get you up in the wall eventually. Yeah. We've a lot of good quotes.
Here to the middle,
and that's a fact, right? There's an awful lot of people complaining about the smallest little things that are obviously very significant to some people, but when you really put things into context, they're very small. Minimalistic compared to what some people are. And again, it goes back to an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Just be grateful for what we have in our lives.
And just going back to what George said about Eckhart Tolle, you spoke about books.
Yeah. You know,
just bring it back. That's the most important book, I'd say, of
Power
the decade.
Power
of
Now, is
it? Yeah, I think so. Because it just, he just explains it so simply in every way possibly. It's just about the present moment. You have no other moment in life. You haven't got next week. You haven't got... The only moment you have is now. And you have no problems in the now.
Mm.
You have a problem next week when you're thinking of the future.
Yeah.
You have a problem last year when you're thinking of the past. You know? When you're in the present moment and you're washing the wear consciously, you're having a conversation... consciously.
That's mindfulness, then. That brings you into a place.
You're in the present moment. Yeah. That's the only place you ever need to be.
But there is, he's right in what he's saying, there's only one moment, and that is the now. This is all that matters. This is the most important hour in my life.
Mm.
Nothing else matters outside of this now, moment of now.
Yeah.
Since I sat here, James, in this chair, I've had this energy rush coming up through my whole body, straight up, like this moment. I just had to kind of tune out a small bit, because my energy is very, very strong, because I'm completely conscious here now with the two of you and Rowan and Gillian messing on her phone.
She's tweeting us.
Yeah, but like, it's
your wife actually, Timmy.
Tell her I said hi. Tell her I said hi, and tell her. But you know what I... Trying to dinner, I'll only be half an hour, I'm only messing.
But you know what I was thinking...
There's me being feminist again.
Do you know what I was thinking then when you were talking? Like, we're blessed to be able to sit around the table like this and talk like this, you know? Considering where we used to be, you know, in terms of mental health, suicide, addictions, you know, ill health as well.
Mm.
You know, to be able to come through that and still kind of... Like, we'll always be a work in progress, like, but... You know, to be able to sit around in our own new studios,
it's
what I mean?
Incredible, and it's fucking a testament to you, lads, and the backing of your spouses and Rowan and everybody that's put their input into this. It's just
and the followers that donated the money.
We wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the Patreon and the patrons who help us out. They pay for everything.
Good people out there, you know, it really is.
You know.
But just getting back to the mental health and the construction, if you don't mind. We spoke about this yesterday, we just tipped on it slightly, about the toolbox talks, and every site has them. But I was honest in what I said yesterday. I don't think I was ever present at a toolbox talk where mental health was brought up. They're talking about the health and safety on site and everything else that goes with it. But again, hopefully that the right people will hear this podcast or view it regarding toolbox talks in the future, that it has to be mandatory that you have to speak about mental health and people's emotional states on site and ask them individually, how are you doing? Everybody on site, everybody that comes to a toolbox talk, how's everybody doing, lads, mentally? How are things outside in your home? Is it, if there's any issues, come up and talk to me. Even if it's the foreman or one of the lads talking, I know they're not trained in it, and this is another road that we may go down, because we spoke about mental health first aiders. Are they very competent in what they're going to do going forward? Do they have the right credentials? Do they have the right attitude? Do they have the right compassion? Do they have the right empathy? Do they have the right answers for somebody on the day? And if they don't, will then pass it forward to somebody that does, you know. Yeah. But the most important thing is that there is change, that there is mental health first aiders now on sites, which is fantastic. But I'd like to see it more prevalent going forward on every single site.
Like we spoke yesterday, the Safe Talk is something that's done for people as suicide awareness.
Yeah.
So you can identify signs and symptoms. And then the Assist training is suicide intervention. So now you can identify the signs and symptoms, and now you're equipped to actually go in and intervene and de-escalate the situation and bring someone out of that, you know, breaking point moment, you know.
It could take one word. It could take one word to shift the guy's trail of thought.
Are you okay?
To take himself from doing something nasty, or,
you
know, just take him out of that negative frame of mind that he may be in. It's just show a little bit of compassion to one another guy's out there, you know.
Yeah, and even bringing it back a little bit there about the health and safety officers that are on site. Health and safety officers have to do a degree, level 8 degree, to get to where they are. You know, if you were to bring a health and safety officer or a mental health officer or something to that nature into a site, you know, maybe the equivalent of something like that, you know, a counsellor, some form of counsellor or psychotherapist or something like that, the equivalent of something like that, they'd be able to really help people in the right way and approach it in the right manner because of their own studies and you know, whatever, practical.
Yeah.
Do you know? So.
Yeah, that's a great point. And look, there is some fantastic companies out there. Dornan's Engineering, I gave an international talk for them going back 2 weeks ago. Absolutely fantastic. What a fantastic firm. You know, they know all about this, about the importance of mental health for their company. And again, I take my hat off to them. Also, PJ Hegarty's tomorrow. I have several talks for PJ Hegarty's. They've had my back for the last couple of years because, again, they know the importance and the benefits that the lads get out on site. Listening to somebody like me or somebody else for that matter that is going in there talking about mental health, hugely beneficial to the site, to the company.
Yeah.
It's massive.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Shout out to Chloe as well from Dornan's.
Yeah, and best of luck with them talks, sure.
Thanks very much.
Would you give us any closing comment?
Any closing comment?
Yeah, maybe anything at all. I'll let you close us off.
Yeah, I'll say what I said a while ago again, and I think it's hugely important, and it will get guys thinking, and I want everybody, if they choose to, is to write it down, stick it up on their wall, and it goes like this. If I always do what I've always done, I will always get what I've always gotten.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very good. Thanks, John.
Thank you. You're
very welcome.
Thanks,
guys. Much appreciated.
See you later, lads.
Thanks, everyone. That was cool.